So I've been struggling at various times with sleepiness while trying to meditate, having the intention of being present and aware and finding myself dozing off. At a retreat last year, the first several days were like that. And early one morning, I found myself doing something similar to your knowing and letting go. It was kind of like I was doing an allow and release of the hypnagogic imagery that was coming up for me. And so it was like I was sitting dreaming and allowing each rather elaborate imagery to take place and then letting it go. I'm not always able to do that. Sometimes I'm just nodding off. And I do wonder about the kind of the skillful means. Like, is it better just to take a nap if I'm that sleepy? Or does one kind of struggle with it in terms of maintaining one's intention to be aware and present?
Yeah, I mean, where we pay attention to the causes, in the sense that, yeah, sometimes when we show up at a retreat, a lot of times people are fried. You know, it's just, you've been really hectic and busy and, really tired. And sometimes it's not even sort of so much, it's not even acknowledged so much as how clear, how much that is. And so that sometimes it's actually fine to just relax, have a sleep, get some rest, and then get a fresh start. Because it's the hindrance of sloth and torpor, as opposed to the experience of sloth and torpor, in the sense that because there's different reasons why we experience sloth and torpor. And sometimes it's just, we're just really tired and we need a rest. So that being able to acknowledge that and to give that. Because otherwise we tend to be, sometimes we can overcome it, but to take it on consciously just as an experiment sometimes is kind of interesting. But sometimes the results are good and sometimes the results aren't so good. Especially when one has, as a lay person, and the retreat time, it can be sometimes limited, 10 days, 2 weeks. And then coming from duties and work and family and whatnot, sometimes you're just tired and need to sleep. So it's probably sometimes it's a more useful, a better use of like a retreat time, to begin by having a rest and then starting fresh. But it is an interesting thing to experiment with, because sometimes the tiredness or sleep so much of it is can oftentimes be just not wanting to exist for a while. I just need a break. I don't want to have to deal with this. I just sleep. As a habit, it's not a skillful habit. So that's where sloth and torpor starts to come in, you're actually well rested. The mind is required to be still and quiet, and it just doesn't want to be there. And it, rather than, sometimes we have different defense mechanisms like that will we go off into restless fantasies and proliferations is one. It depends on temperament, and at other times, or we'll go into that just sloth and torpor. Mind doesn't want to do it. Just tires. I don't want to deal. Go into oblivion or into a. But there's also a kind of how do you say a with sloth and torpor. That kind of liminal sort of state of not quite awake, not quite asleep, and it's sort of peaceful, but there's nothing much happening. and it feels kind of good. So there's a certain attractiveness to it. And it's easy to, and it doesn't take many effort either, so, which is kind of good as well. So, we have to be able to, that sense of giving instruction, lifting up the mind to the object, lifting up the mind to something pleasing or bright. And then it gains that momentum, and it actually stays bright. I've seen monks work with, when they're actually really, really tired, and I remember one time watching this monk. One of the things we do at Ajahn Chah's monastery. When it comes to at the end of the rains retreat, when we've done retreats, and then there's many branch monasteries, and after the rains retreat, there's a ceremony, a robe offering ceremony, that's a katina, but the way it's done at Ajahn Chah's monastery is people will gather on the day before. And then in the night there'll be chanting, short period of meditation, and then there'll be Dhamma talks through the whole night. And then the offering takes place the next day. So, you stay up meditating, listen to Dhamma talks, and then the next day. But sometimes, because there's many branch, this is one branch monastery, but sometimes you'll have two or three of them in a row. And it can get tiring. And I can remember watching one, because he was, they were helping, it was actually Ajahn Chah's teacher. They were helping him and his ceremony. And he came back, and then it was at Ajahn Chah's monastery. So he'd been 2 or 3 days without sleep, or maybe snatches here or there, and then he was sitting in the hall, and I knew he was tired, and then he would in his yes, and he'd pull himself up, and then he just sat there. And I thought, God, this guy's incredible. If it were me, I know what I'd do. I'd find a quiet place somewhere and I'd crash out. He just kept doing it. It was, from about 10 o'clock at night through to about 1. And it was like 3 hours just pulling himself up. And then I saw him at about 1 o'clock just pull himself up again. And then he just sat pretty bolt upright till the morning chanting at 4 o'clock. It's really amazing. It was just because he'd just worked with it and was willing to keep applying effort. And there's tiredness or sloth and torpor. This is not pleasant. but taking it on just as a training. It's not how you live your life. It's not how you do it. But sometimes experiment, because that that kind of, so the boundaries that we set for ourselves are oftentimes much smaller than we can actually deal or work with or be with, from time to time, learning from that it's a real learning.
So even if we're nodding off, we can still be attempting to apply ourselves.
We can still keep attempting to apply ourselves. Yeah.
Thank you.